A case can be made that much of America began through a lot of prayer. In fact, in our history, there were a lot of prayer proclamations that were made through different times. For example, even during the time of American independence, the Continental Congress set aside days of fasting and prayer, calling on God to help us. Well, right now we're going to talk with Dave Kubal, that's K-U-B-A-L, who's the president of Intercessors for America. Their website is ifapray.org, and one of their main goals is to help get Americans to pray and really pray for this country and pray for renewal. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dave Kubal, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry, and thank you so much for the chance to share with you and your folks. And I couldn't agree more that our history is embedded with prayer. In fact, I think one of the most important days in the history of this nation, in fact, let me just ask that, you who are listening to this interview, what do you think is the most important day in the history of the United States? Well, I can tell you, I think it's June 28th, 1787. And this day is significant because this day was a day that our union almost never happened. Our Continental Congress was debating the Constitution and the elements of it and before it was formed, and everything was about to unravel. There were even colonists who were threatening to attack their fellow colonists if they didn't agree with them. It was a terrible time. And yet, probably the least spiritual of our founding fathers, Ben Franklin, he took the podium and he said, "Men, small progress has been made up until this point." And I'm paraphrasing just so you all know if you want to check the quote. He said, "Small progress has been made. Should we not humbly ask the Father of the lights to illuminate our progress?" He said that we used to pray in this room, the very room where they were debating on the Continental Congress, the progression of the creation of the Constitution. This was happening in Philadelphia. And he said, we used to meet in this room to pray for divine protection during the war with the Britons. And then he asked this question, have we forgotten our Father? Have we forgotten the one that guides us? He said, therefore, I move prayers imploring the assistance of heaven would occur. And so from that date forward, every time Congress has met for hundreds of years now, they have started the day in prayer. In fact, you mentioned that our nation was birthed in prayer and fasting. And actually, when Ben Franklin made this speech, when he called his fellow colonists to prayer and fasting, they actually ended up fasting for 4 days, over the 4th of July, actually. And so when they got back together after the 4th of July, it only took a month for them to figure out the final aspects of the Constitution, and our nation was given birth. But again, our nation was birthed in prayer, our Constitution was birthed in prayer, and that prayer that was at the beginning of our nation's and our nation's Constitution continues to this very day. Today, whenever you're listening to this, if Congress is in session, they open in prayer because of what happened so many years ago. So, Jerry, you're exactly right. Prayer is very much a part of our history.
Wow. You know, I've actually quoted that speech so often, either in Sunday school classes or in sermons and so forth. I know some of it from memory, only just from having said it so often. I have lived so a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall without his acknowledgement, how can we hope to build an empire without his aid? Very, very good point. Now, let me go ahead, if I may, and quote a little bit from the Continental Congress in March of 1776. John Hancock ordered this. He said, the Congress, considering the warlike preparations of the British ministry to subvert our invaluable rights and privileges and to reduce us by fire and sword, do earnestly recommend that Friday, the 17th day of May, next, be observed by and said colonies as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease his righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain his pardon and forgiveness. And basically they go on from there to ask for God's help in the war that was being imposed on them. And of course, God did help them. But, you know, we never learned these kinds of things in history class, did we, Dave?
Right. No, you're exactly right. And, you know, what a humble heart that that quote demonstrates, that our founding fathers, those patriots that put life and limb on line to fight the British, they came before God and said, forgive us of our sins as we go and as we fight for what we think is morally right. Lord, forgive us of our sins. And it's with that faith and that confidence that they went out and they fought. It's really an amazing quote.
Now, did prayer stop being important in the American experience? And if so, at what point did that happen?
No, prayer has always been very much a center of the American experience. And governmental leaders for hundreds and hundreds of years have called this nation to times of prayer, humiliation, which is a word we don't use very much anymore, in prayer. Time after time, that's been part of our nation's history. And you know, it's so important, especially in this day and age. You know, I just want to encourage anybody that's listening that, you know, a prayerless believer in this day and age is a powerless believer. We've got to be enlisting the encouragement, the revelation, the insight that God can give us to make it through these circumstances, and really for the hope of this nation. And I can tell you from my seat here at Intercessors for America, we've never seen as much interest and in desperation to pray for this nation. And to me, Jerry, that gives me hope that God still has a plan and destiny for this nation. If he's putting his people to prayer, he's got something in store for this nation.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a statistic where it was something to the effect that 71% of Americans feel that we're, as a nation, at this very moment, heading in the wrong direction. Do you think some of those 71% will perhaps consider the option of prayer? Too often, by the way, prayer is sort of like the kind of the last ditch effort, you know, and they almost ought to put like behind those little safety glass units where they put a fire hydrant or an axe or something, they ought to put, you know, pray, you know, if all else fails, then you can turn to prayer.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And I saw that same poll, and golly, that's more than a vast majority of Americans that are not satisfied where this current administration is taking our nation. And, you know, I think that people are just looking for a reason, an opportunity, maybe a group to get behind in order to see change. We talk about intercessory activism here at Intercessors for America. It's activism where you go out and you do things, but it's all based in prayer. And this is a day and age where we have got to be active. We've got to get outside of the four walls of our church. We got to get outside of really the old paradigm of the church doesn't speak into politics. And people of God have got to stand up. We're losing our culture. This is wartime, and we've got to recognize it for what it is. And we've got to all be involved in intercessory activism.
But when you use the phrase like wartime, you're not in any way advocating any form of violence in any way at all, correct? You're talking about spiritual warfare. You're talking about prayer.
Absolutely. Prayer. Civil disobedience is definitely something that could be part of this, but absolutely, I would never condone violence harming anybody in this day and age. But we've got to recognize this is a spiritual warfare that's happening before our eyes that we have never seen. The cause of evil and the forces of evil are displayed in obvious form every single day. This is wartime, and it's a spiritual war. And we've got to recognize us for who we are. In the United States, evangelicals represent 30% of the American's population. So we're not a minority. We're not a remnant. We're a theological, morally based block of that who hold the same values that has the opportunity to make a significant difference in this country today.
Does prayer work?
Good question. Well, I can tell you, prayer does work, and we've seen it time and time again. The story I shared at the beginning of this clip gives evidence that prayer not only works, it forms nations, and it invites God into the happenings of a country. And so absolutely it does. And you know, I think people out there who are listening to this may think, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to reach out to God. I don't know how to pray for this nation. And I can tell you it's not that hard. You just simply talk to God about what you're seeing on the news, what you're reading on your phone as you scan the headlines, and you just talk to God about it, and He'll guide you and direct you. You know, the Holy Spirit, the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit gives us groans when we don't have words. And for all of us men that are out there listening, Jerry, that gives me hope that I know how to pray, because sometimes I don't have all the words that I need, but I can groan before the Lord.
You know, one thing that you may have noticed, prayer in some ways has lost some of its luster. And here's what I mean by this. I think of after the Parkland shooting, you know, some people said well-meaningly and so forth, they said, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And then some of the people said, we don't need any more prayers. We don't need your thoughts. You know, we need action. And then the action, you know, that they were demanding was gun control, which frankly, you know, one could argue that more gun control just takes the guns out of the hands of people who are willing to defend themselves and their family, and just puts them only in the hands of those who are not going to abide by the laws anyway. So in other words, gun control laws essentially arm the criminals but don't allow us to defend ourselves. But this idea of, well, we don't need any more prayers, we need action. Has prayer in some ways become, you know, cheapened in our time?
Well, you know, both of us have lived long enough to see times when prayer comes in vogue momentarily, and then a day or two later, it's no longer popular. But what you were mentioning was the left, the progressives on the left, those that hold to an anti-God agenda are saying, we don't need your prayers, we need action. So they were trying to take God totally out of the picture. And that's where I have a strong disagreement, that it is, God still governs the affairs of man, and it's a moral populace that is able to keep our freedoms. And so we've got to do everything we can to pray and to act. You know, I use this quote sometimes. It's this, that prayer without action sometimes is irresponsible, but action without prayer always lacks supernatural power. And what we need today is we need men and women who have the heart of God. They've spent time with Him on their knees, and then they go out and they do because of what they heard from the Heavenly Father.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Tell us about Intercessors for America. How do you help mobilize prayer warriors across the country?
Well, Intercessors for America is a ministry that's nearly 50 years old. We impact hundreds of thousands every single month. We are three things: news, prayer, and action. Go to ifapray.org to figure out how you can sign up to get the latest news from a biblical perspective, how you can be involved in a community of prayer, but not only that, but how you can join others in effectively doing things to impact this culture today.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the country?
I'm optimistic about the future of the church. We have seen a revival in the church in the last few years, that the true church understands what truly is going on. And the true church is energized to be involved and pray like I've never seen before. Ultimately, I think it's always about the church and the health of the church. From that perspective, I'm extremely optimistic. Now we've got to see the church get out there and make a difference for this nation. The United States has led the globe in freedom for a couple of hundred years. They're relying on us to protect their freedoms. We have got to, until our last breath, we've got to do everything we can in order for religious freedoms to be protected, not only in this nation, but all around the globe.
All right, Dave Kubal, thanks so much for being with us. ifapray.org for more information. All the best, Dave. Thanks again.
Thank you.